Jared, what's your favorite club to hit?
Driver, full send.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Full Send Podcast with my man Jared Wolf. This is Trey Griggs, and we are coming in with a little bit of a layoff. Jared, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Trey, how's it going, man? Doing well.
Thanks. Doing good, man. I hear that you're down in Houston for the Monday qualifier for the Houston Open, the Hewlett-Packard coming up this week. What's going on in Houston? What's good?
Oh, I just had some good dinner. Had a little Mediterranean style Euro place. I know everybody, if everybody is used to the other two or three we've done, I do like to talk about food. So, that was fun. It was like a Chipotle for Euros and Euro meat plates and things like that. So it's pretty good. But Houston's good. Played a practice round today. Had a good time.
Yeah. Is this your first time in Houston?
Pretty good. Yeah. First time, you know, staying over.
Oh wow!
A lot of times flying in, but never really stayed.
That's interesting. You know, all the places you've been. I wonder how many cities you're going to be able to say that this year. You know, like, hey, I've never been here before.
Yeah, very few.
Very good. What course is the Monday qualifier going to be at down in Houston?
It's a great Westwood Country Club.
Are you carrying your bag, or are you getting push cart, or a local caddy? Pull cart.
I'm gonna try to push cart it. I'm gonna try. They only had like six or seven of them, and I'm at 1 o'clock, so I'm hoping some people in the first couple groups take one and then get finished and I can grab one.
Nice.
If not, I'm gonna be asking if they have one of the cart boys I can carry my so I got the staff bag and I'm like, daggone.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you don't have the small, you know, the old ping hoofer type of a, you know, bag, mm-hmm. That could be pretty. When's the last time you carried your bag for a round of golf? For a whole round?
It's been a while. I think I did it. Last time I did it was probably the last time on Monday in Louisiana. It was either Louisiana or... Yeah, I think it was Louisiana.
Oh, nice.
In 2018.
Yeah. So 3.5 years since you carried a bag.
I think so.
Very cool. First time seeing the layout, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We're gonna back up. It's been a while since we've had a chance to chat. A lot has happened. Halloween has come and gone. But let's back it up a little bit. You know, so the last time that we spoke was right before you were in Vegas for the Monday qualifier for the Shriners Open, and that was quite the week for you, man. There were some super highs and some lows. So let's jump in a little bit. You know, on that last podcast, we talked about the mentality for a Monday Q, and you must have had it that week because you blitzed the course. You shot 60, 12 under 60, and I believe that round included a stretch of 9 straight birdies. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was madness.
What's the most birdies you've had in a row in a tournament round, in a competitive round? Is that the most?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the most before that may have been like 4 or 5.
I mean, what's going on when you go through that? I mean, that's like video game stuff. I mean, you know, after probably 5 or 6, you know, it might feel normal, but when you get to like 7 or 8, I mean, you know, what's that like standing on the next tee?
It's weird. So, I mean, what did I say? I did three in a row on, no, I did 6 in a row on the front and then 3 in a row on the back, or 3 in a row on the front and 6 on the back.
Yeah. That back stretch right in the middle. You did 9 in a row. Yeah. You did the last 6 on your first 9 and the first 3 on your second 9.
Yes. That's it. So I mean, I started off kind of slow and lame. And then it just started to be like, 4 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 4 feet, 4 feet, 3 feet. And like everything I hit, 8 iron, 9 iron, wedge, it was all down to like 3, 4, 5 feet. So they were really easy putts. And then I got to, I think it was like 11th or 12th hole that I was on, was a par 3, and I hit it to like 40 feet. And a 2-tier green is just, and I was like, all right, you know, we've had a good run. Let's just two putt this thing and not lose any momentum. Next hole's an easy par five, and I ended up making it. And then in next par five, hitting it on, and then two putting. I think that was my last two birdies. So it was just kind of wild. Like it, when you talk about video game type stuff, it was almost like I could control the ball in the air, you know, with their controller.
Get all extra spin.
I'll tell you what, was honestly, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, though, I mean, the course was very susceptible to scoring. I mean, 9 under made it in for the, the top four guys. 8 under was, there's like 12 out of those guys waiting on stuff, and somebody in the last group knocked them out. We can talk about that later. But you know, still, you got to shoot you got to hit the shots. You got to make the putts and things like that. And it happened probably four times with the same number. It was like 148 to 150 area, I think. And then it happened at three more times of the 12 that I had the same number around like 118. And the first time I hit that shot with that number, I hit it to a couple feet. So then the next time I had it, I was like, well, I'll just do the same thing. And then the next time I had it, I'll do the same thing. And that usually is a great idea in theory. Right. And then you hit it and you're like, oh yeah, I hit it to maybe 15 feet that time instead of five. But I just felt, comfortable. I felt good, that I was lining the ball up well, with my, alignment with the irons and, it's hitting the fairways, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. And for us amateurs, for the rest of us, that's the moral of the story, is that we hit a good shot, we should just say to ourselves, just do that again. And then clearly that's what should happen. That's how it should all work out, for sure. Now, you had an interesting thing happen on your last hole. So, set this story up. So you're sitting, you go to your last hole, your 18th hole, the ninth hole of the golf course. And you're sitting at 12 under. Which means you make a par, you shoot a 60, but tell us what happened on that hole and what could have been.
Hit it pretty hard tee ball, considering the rest of the course, wasn't too demanding off the tee. But this one had some bunkers, hazards and things, and I was perfectly okay with hitting in this bunker. But, so I aimed at that, and I honestly was, my only thought was just getting this tee ball off the tee and getting it in the fairway or in play, even if it was in that bunker. And I hit it. It was great in the middle of the fairway and got down. It was exactly one of the same numbers I had before. And I looked at Tillis Acadia. I was like, why don't we just try to make it? Obviously being silly. I don't know. If I would have said that seriously, he would have had permission to hit me. But I was like, man, let's just try to make it, shoot 58. That'd be awesome. And I hit it, and it was in the air. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, I think I might have done it. And it lands, hits the flag at the bottom of it, and bounces off like 30 feet to the left. And I mean, we couldn't believe it. When it hit the flag, I was like, I couldn't see the ball for a second. It was getting pretty dark, and it hit the flag. Couldn't see the ball. I was like, I did it. I made it. And then I saw it creeping over this little hill part and everything. And when I got to the ball, I was like, I'm going to give this a normal putt run. I'm not going to, really try to ram this thing in the back of the hole. It's like, I'm going to take my PGA Tour start over trying to shoot 59 and coming away and shooting 61 and maybe that not being enough. I don't know. You never know with those kind of things. And like I said, it, 9 under was what made it through out of 120 guys or something like that. So I wasn't taking any chances, but I hit it up there to like 3 inches short and tapped in for the 60.
Probably the most disappointing 60 of your life that you'll probably ever have was that
yep.
round.
yeah. It was funny on my, I think it was hole 7. Yeah, I had 3 holes left to shoot to get another birdie. And the 7th hole, I hit it to, I want to say 10 feet. And that was the longest putt other than that 40-foot putt I had. And it was like, I didn't really know how to hit it because I'd had 4 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 5 feet. I'm like, oh, that sounds stupid. Believe me, it sounds very arrogant, conceited, and dumb, but it's the truth. That's how I felt. And those are rare. That happens once in, once however long, and you just enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like, what do I do with this extra 6 feet I've got to navigate here on this putt? You know, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I should lag this up to 4 feet and
knock it in.
But it was fun, man. Like I said, the goal was to make it through, and that's what we did. And the cherry on top was that I had a chance to shoot 59, and like I said, that doesn't happen very often. But it was great because there was no wind, the greens were receptive, and like I said, I had those numbers, but it was fun to feel like, you know, I was in control of the ball and that I could fly it at the pins and know that the ball was going to stick, and I could be pretty aggressive with things, and I really liked that.
Now, that's one of the great things about golf is that, I mean, it takes a lot, but occasionally it gives you something special like that that you'll always remember, and definitely gave you some good vibes heading into, you know, the week. And before we go into the tournament week, you know, you did mention that 8 under was out, and there were probably 7 or 8 guys that were sitting at 8 under. And again, it just goes to show the strength of the field. I mean, I don't care how easy the course is. You still have, like you said, hit the shots, make the putts, and 9 under was, you know, the last score in. That had to be one of the lowest, you know, Monday qualifying scores to make the cut, just to get in. So, tremendous field. But it's nice that you beat the field. Even if the field average that day was 67, you still beat the field, you know, by 6-7 shots. pretty cool to have going into the week. So how did that momentum lead into the week, you know, in Vegas? You're now in, obviously, you know, you belong there, but now you win the Monday qualifier. Now you're in the field. Talk a little bit about that round and how it kind of impacted you for the rest of the week when you went into your, you know, first and second round.
It helped a lot. You know, I felt like I was playing good in Jackson, Mississippi the week before and just wasn't showing, and then had good practice sessions, you know, there on the range on the weekend before heading to Vegas, and just to kind of feel it come together there. And then, you know, in the practice round, seeing shots go the way I wanted to, gave me a ton of confidence, and, you know, it went pretty well. I played 9 holes with Matt Wolf, and, you know, got to kind of go toe to toe with him a little bit, just to, you know, see what that top 20, you know, or top 30 in the world talent's like, and see all those kind of things. And I think he ended up finishing second or third that week, but, just gave me a lot of confidence, you know, and as I played those first 2 days, I was hitting the ball great off the tee. I was doing really well with pretty much everything, which was fun to see. The kind of golf that I know I can play will move me up the leaderboard on the big tour, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and so was that your first time getting to see Matthew Wolf in person up close?
No, I met him in Jackson, Mississippi the week before. Our lockers obviously are right next to each other, and they're going to be all year. And he came up to me at Vegas and apologized. He didn't know there was another Wolf in the field, and his caddy bib was my name. They gave him my name, and with an E instead of 2 F's, and he crossed out the E and wrote an F in permanent marker. and we didn't notice it, and I think because they probably changed it before they handed it to us. But I was like, "Oh man, you're good, you're fine," and all that stuff. And you know, we just talked for a couple minutes about it, but great guy, nice guy, a lot of fun to play with, really funny, really, really funny guy. So it was enjoyable. And on top of that, I mean, obviously he's an amazing talent, and it was kind of fun to be around that.
He's top 30 in the world, and he's like, "How do you misspell my name? Like, how does this happen?"
didn't realize. Exactly.
That's pretty
right?
Funny. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I should have played it off as I was really mad and, you know, and all that, but I didn't.
You ruined my week.
I didn't know what happened. Exactly.
Nice. What do you think about, you know, his swing? You know, everybody's swing on tour is unique, but I think the thing that a lot of amateurs don't realize is, you know, from 2 feet behind the ball to 2 feet in front of the ball, there's a lot of similarities. You know, what are your takeaways from somebody like him and the uniqueness of the swings on the PGA Tour?
His swing, very unique. Obviously, it gets analyzed pretty much every week. Seen it in person, you know, and up close, wasn't what like I thought it was on TV. And I've kind of felt that way about a few of the guys that have been around. You know, Webb Simpson has a very unorthodox move. Bubba has a weird move. But all of them in person, you're like, oh, I get it. I see it. It makes sense. And he's got, I mean, he's got great action through the ball. Yeah, I can't do the backswing. I mean, I would, I don't even know what I'd, I don't know if the club would even stay in my hands. But he is great. He has great action through the ball. His footwork's really good. Super stable. You can just tell he has the confidence going through the ball. And I think a lot of that is because that's the swing that's his swing. And he's not searching and trying and moving the swing around, trying to make it better make it more Instagram better or, you know, teacher better type thing, you know, where it's picture perfect. He's out there and he's like, you know, I've got this swing and it's a great swing for me and I'm going to go out and beat you with it. And that's refreshing. Victor Hovland's the same way. He just won this week in Mexico by a few, if anybody watched his move, they say club face is closed and you're across the line at the top. That's not going to work. But here he is. He's won three times on tour and he's barely 14 years old. You know what I mean? Like all these guys, they it's refreshing to see that the generation that's coming in now is about playing the swing I've got. And I'm going to go out and play and win. I feel like for a little while there, it was, you know, when TrackMan started coming out and all these other things that it was like, no, your swing has to be on plane here. It has to be in this position, that position and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of refreshing to see that.
Yeah, and I think that's something for amateurs to remember as well, myself included, in that group for sure, because, you know, a lot of times we think the swing has to look right, but the truth is there are some fundamentals that are important, but most importantly, your swing has to be repeatable and you have to have confidence in it. And I think that's what you're seeing from these young guys is that their swing is repeatable and they have confidence. They know where it's going to go and then they can play it and they believe they're going to beat you. And that's really key.
Exactly. I agree.
So let's talk about your scoring real quick. So first round, you shot a really solid 68, which is your second 68 in a row. You shot 68 in the second round of the Sanderson Farms as well. And you had it rolling in day two. I think you were 5 under on the round through 10 or 11 holes. And then talk a little about what happened there with the finish of round two there.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, we made the turn, you know, in good position. And I hadn't looked at the leaderboard. I didn't know where I was. I just knew I was making birdies and that's what I wanted to keep doing. And, you know, rolled one in on the first hole, which is my 10th hole and kept on moving up and things were great. And I hadn't really made any mistakes. And if I had, I got out of it pretty easily and did well with it and hadn't really struggled for much. And, hit a pretty poor iron shot on the 12th. On hole two, my 11th hole, but it was an easy up and down. I had a very easy up and down. I had the putter. I was even putting off the side of the green, but you know, I left it like 6 feet short of the hole, missed it. So you know that's fine. Next hole is not very easy on the second shot, and I made a poor bogey there, but it was okay. You know, I hadn't had anything happen and I knew, you know, whatever, two bogeys, that's fine. No big deal. I got a lot of easy holes coming up and got to par three, my 14th hole. I think it was 14th hole. I was third to go. I had bogeyed a few previous holes and still in good spirits and hit a 9-iron that still baffles me. To today, a few weeks later, it still baffles me how it came up, 20 yards short into a hazard, especially, you know, when the guys next to me hitting balls on that hole, that I'd played with already now for a day and a half. I was able to see what they hit we've been clubbing off each other pretty much, you know, both of those days and made a good shots. And I thought I hit a good shot and still think I did, but for some reason ball came up short, went to hazard, and drop zone back where I was, and didn't get it up and down from there, and unfortunately had some really good holes left to make just one birdie, including the 9th hole that my 18th that the day before I drove 8-iron in, and unfortunately one hopped into a tree, had to punch down, and then had a wedge and missed about a 12-foot birdie putt. So that one was tough. Full disclosure, that one was emotionally hard for me afterwards. I played well. I'd seen myself getting up there, and it was a tournament, quote unquote, I shouldn't have been in because of my number. On Monday to end, I knew I was skipping a tournament coming up that I was going to get into. And so I thought, well, this is my chance to do something with it. And, to look back at the end of the week, there's a lot of things I could have kept telling myself about how I messed up here, I screwed up there or whatnot. And, which is human. But I had to get out of that pretty quickly. It was starting to go the wrong way.
Yeah, and that's something golf can do for sure. I mean, you had it rolling. You were 8-under through 10 for the tournament, and were clearly inside the cut line in a matter of 4 holes. It really shifted quickly. What does that do to your psyche on the course in that moment when you've got 4 holes remaining, knowing you have a par 5 coming up, but 4 holes remaining to get at least one back? Most of the time, you guys know where the cut line is while you're playing. You kind of probably knew that you were close. What was that like?
It can get pretty emotional, and that's what you're obviously trying to avoid. You're trying to stay as even as you can out there. But, in that moment, I'm riding high and things are good. I feel like my focus is still there. Everything's great. And then it's weird in golf tournaments when something happens that you can't explain and it has that big of a consequence to it, at least for me, it kind of leaves me dumbfounded. But I had a job to do. The next hole, I was like, look, you've got to give yourself a birdie chance on every single one of these holes left. You have time later to be upset and a time later to be dumbfounded. And until then, you have to hit quality golf shots and figure it out. That's the difference between where I'm at now and where I was, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, things like that. That would have just wrecked me and I would have had no chance. But I honestly did. I gave it the best chance I could coming in, and just nothing happened. No birdies or anything like that. But the main thing was it did rattle me at the moment, but I refocused and knew I had a job to do. And sometimes those stories end with, I birdied my last 3 holes, and sometimes it means, I parred the last 3 holes, but I gave myself good looks for birdie. That's just how golf is.
Yeah. And certainly, the week didn't end the way that you wanted to, but the progress is definitely there. You went from your first tournament playing +6 at Sanderson, you were 3-under through 2 rounds. At Shriners, you were 4-under through 2 rounds and playing really well. So you got to take a lot of confidence going into these next few tournaments that, you're getting more comfortable. You're playing the kind of golf you can play, and that it's just a matter of time before you get a couple of those low rounds, or those little 9-hole runs that gets you well inside the cut line and you're off and running on the weekend.
I agree completely. Seeing those good scores and how far they can move me up the leaderboard gets me really excited about, my next opportunity to play, obviously, hopefully this week. If not, it'll be the next week at RSM. But I feel like in these last 6 to 7 weeks, with those 3 weeks of experience, I feel like I've gotten to become even a better player than I was just 6 or 7 weeks or 8 or 9 weeks ago. On the Korn Ferry Tour, I've seen what kind of golf it takes, and I know that's in my capabilities, and just knowing that has given me a ton of confidence going forward, despite the downsides of missing a couple cuts by 1 and 2, and the looming reshuffle coming up and all this stuff, and how hard it is right now for anybody in our category to even really get into a tournament. It's all those things. Despite all that, I know that I've got a lot of good stuff in me, and it's going to show at some point soon.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see, and we're looking forward to this week or next week, whichever one you teed up in first. But a lot has happened actually since Vegas to now. We've had Halloween, We've had, you know, Q School get to the final stage, which is going to be, ending this week. And, you know, guys are going to know what their position is on the Korn Ferry Tour for next week, but you've been through that experience as well. And also, as we saw on Instagram and Twitter this week, as a family, you guys put up your Christmas decorations, and I couldn't have been more proud for that moment, because you always ask people this time of year, are you team turkey? Or are you team baby Jesus? And it's clear that the Wolfpack is team baby Jesus. So that was pretty cool. So talk a little bit about the last 3 weeks, you know, watching Q School, practicing Halloween, you know, with Chloe, who is now kind of getting old enough to start to enjoy some of that stuff, and you and Kelsey getting to do that. Talk a little bit about these last 3 weeks and what that's been like for you.
It's been, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Coming back from the Shriners, I was obviously in a pretty, upset, you know, mindset, and I wasn't very happy, but you know, when you come home and you see your wife and your little girl, and you know, things start to kind of get back to normal, and it was just fun. You know, we were just fun having a great time with them playing, and you know, just not taking any of that for granted, the time that I get to spend at home with them, and even if it is at the expense of a tournament or of some opportunity or things like that, it's a lot of fun. And the weather in Jacksonville started getting, you know, perfect. It was always 75 and sunny and beautiful and everything. And, you know, so speaking of that, it created for a good time to practice. And there's a couple things I know I wanted to work on that, you know, I did well in Vegas with, but I wanted to make sure my tee ball was great. I wanted to make sure, you know, I was working on my putting. My short game let me down in Vegas. My short game was horrible in Vegas. And so, you know, working on those kind of things, just you don't know when the next opportunity is going to be in my position with where we're at in our category. You know, I'm four out, but, you know, 3 weeks ago I was four or five people in on this tournament. So I thought I was going to be playing, you know, based on that number. You know, just things like that. But it's been a fun few weeks, and you know, we take Chloe around and let her see all the inflatables. So we went out and got an inflatable turkey for Halloween. We didn't get anything else. But we got us a big inflatable turkey for Halloween, and then right after Thanksgiving, we'll put up a few inflatable Christmas items we have. But the tree is up, as pathetic as it looks. And terrible. It is
it's shorter than you. Tree. It's no good, man. It's shorter than you are.
but that was everybody remembers the first Christmas tree. So ours is tiny, and it lacks some of the branches and, you know, leaves or whatever that those are called on there. And but right now, Chloe still wants to grab everything. So until probably next year, probably December 26th. We're going to go straight over to some big box store and go get us a discounted Christmas tree that probably already has lights on it. And not going to deal with it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be 7 or 8 feet. And we're going to upgrade it. We're going to upgrade in this world a little bit.
That's right. You know, and I always say that if the star or the angel that you put on top is not challenging the ceiling, you know, you gotta upgrade. You gotta go bigger. You gotta make it a little bit challenging to make sure it gets on there and doesn't hit the ceiling. But no, it's exciting. Now, what did Chloe go for Halloween? Did she dress up? Did you guys dress her up?
She did. She was a Minnie Mouse. She basically Classic. just had Minnie Mouse dress on. Yeah, we didn't really want to spend too much investment on actual costumes for main reason. She's still going through potty training, so she decided to try to destroy it one night already. So we weren't gonna go into getting any more things like that. But maybe next year. It was a lot of fun though. Kelsey put a big bow on her head and went as Daisy, and I put a bow tie on and went as Donald Duck, and it was a lot of fun. The neighborhood we're in does a lot of different fun things, and but I was down in Mexico though for the Monday qualifier on Halloween, so I missed out on all of the actual Halloween day things. But we did a bunch of things leading up to it that week that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Those moments are so special, and ones that you'll, you know, look back on, see the pictures, and just really enjoy that, especially as they grow up really, really fast. And trust me, they grow up really, really fast. So
enjoy all
those moments. So let's talk about this week real quick. So as you said, you were in the tournament based on prioritization. Now you're four out. So there's still a chance that you'll get a spot, but you're going to play in the Monday qualifier tomorrow and try to just secure a spot that way. So talk a little bit about the mindset this week, where there's just so many unknowns. Like, you could get in on Monday. If you don't, you could still get in by Wednesday or Thursday. And as long as, the person whose spot you're taking hasn't teed off yet, you could technically get in the tournament right up until your tee time. So there's a lot of unknowns as we talk a little bit about being in that position, which is new from the last couple of years, where you kind of knew your schedule and you knew when you were going to play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had I've had a couple of years. I think 2018, 2014. I had a couple of years of just living on the bubble type thing, and like you said, the last couple of years I haven't had to do it, which has been really nice. Again, I will never take that for granted. But a lot of unknowns this week. You know, you got some travel coming from Mexico, and you got all these full field events that. Or full purse events that guys are wanting to play in. Guys are wanting to start to, maybe some guys took some weeks, the bigger names may have taken some weeks off earlier on, and now they're ready to come back and start playing again before taking a little time off, for Christmas and things. But as far as tomorrow goes, you know, I know that listeners are probably listening to this after, play tomorrow, but, you know, going into a Monday qualifier knowing that there's a chance you could get in on your number, based off priority, is pretty difficult. You'd think it'd be a little more freeing, but at the same time, you can get pretty careless. And so I'm going to go tomorrow as if, you know, I don't have a job whatsoever, cause I don't. And I'm going to go after it and try to go as low as I possibly can and get in that way and leave it to no chance. That's the goal, and if not, I'll stick around probably until Thursday just to make sure and get in, either get in that way or head home, hang out with the girls for a couple of days, and then go to see Alan and go take care of business over there.
Now, you got a new strategy this time around, because the last time in Vegas you had Tillis on the bag. He's not there tomorrow because he's helping another golfer finish up the Q School finals. So what is it like playing in one of these rounds where you know you have to go low and now you're without half of your team?
It's hard. Tillis did such a great job in Vegas. He obviously knew I was on the hot hand. I knew I was. Everybody that was around us knew it. I mean, it was just birdie after birdie. And we did everything we could to talk about anything else. And, you know, he kept me from thinking about myself and thinking about where I'm at and all this other stuff. But, you know, come tomorrow, if I'm in that same situation, I might be, you know, I'm going to kind of have just myself. And, it's going to look kind of silly if I'm talking to myself out loud about something else other than golf or anything. But, I'll try to strike up some conversation with the guy I'm playing with. But realistically, you know, not having Tillis on the bag will lead to some more thoughts in my head that he does a good job of taking away.
Yeah. Well, hopefully tomorrow goes just as well as Vegas. And by the time this airs, you'll have a job secured. And so we're excited to see what happens at the Monday qualifier and or getting into the tournament this week, and look forward to you at the RSM Classic in Sea Island next week. And as always, man, we really appreciate your time and your openness, your candidness about, you know, what it's like out there, and just looking forward to seeing you continue to improve and see some more success that you've been seeing. So thank you so much for the time, Jerry. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Full Send Podcast, an inside look at Jared Wolf's journey on the PGA Tour. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us a like and leave a comment. That will help others find us easier. And until next time, hit them long and hit them straight. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.